Welcome to the Catholic Dad Show. This is another episode in Catholic Dads of Genius.
It's not just another episode, Chris. It is the last episode in this series that we're calling the Catholic Dads of Genius,
where we talk to various dads from various walks of life and how God is inspiring them. So my name is Chris Bartlett.
And I'm Matt Rice, and we are Catholic dads trying to become the dads God has called us to be.
You are in the spot for Catholic fatherhood. Thanks so much for joining us, you guys. Matt, tell us what's going on in your mouth.
So I've had a cold or something like that for a while. And the real brunt of it happened like last week, like Sunday, Monday or something like that. But I've had this gross phlegm stuff in drainage or whatever. Yeah, let's talk about that on the show. And so it just makes me cough. It's a dry cough almost. You can't even hear that anything's happening. but ever so often, something happens. Anyway, and that helps. But I didn't want to be coughing all through this episode, so I had to find a cough drop. So I went digging through my bag, and I don't know if any of you guys have, I have a backpack that I carry around everywhere, and I always put stuff in there that I think I'll need one day. Well,
it's a purse.
One day.
It's a purse.
Yeah, it's a purse. It's a backpack purse. And so I think one day, maybe 2, 3, could be 5 years ago, I'm not sure, I thought, hey, I might need a cough drop someday. Well, I found it today, and I could not get the paper off. It was absolutely stuck. It was disgusting. I half thought about just putting it in my mouth as it was and just spitting the paper out as I was using it. But then Chris had the great idea, just run it under water and scrape the paper off when you do it. So that's what I did. And I did not get all of the paper off of the cough drop. So now I have cough drop wrapper in my mouth. So that's what's going on.
I think as dads, you get some grit, and this is the fruit of dad grit, because I do not like wasting food. I don't like it when my kids waste food. And to be honest, everyone usually gets served one hot dog when we have hot dogs. And then I go back for more and more and more, because I'm a 3-4 hot dog type of guy. I mean,
absolutely.
Look at this, you know.
look at my dad bod.
My dad bod. But my son threw away an entire plate of food. He's like, I'm done. He wanted to go outside and play. And of course, he came back in 10 minutes later hungry. And I'm like, we're getting the hot dog out of the trash. He's like, no, yeah, I'm not going to eat it. That's disgusting. And so I'm like, dang it, I'm going to teach you. And so I ate the thing in front of him, got him a new hot dog, because we're not wasting food.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm absolutely, I'm 2 inches from his face just eating this crunchy hot dog.
Well, and that dad grit, I think, spills over in other areas of our life. We had a meeting with the Blaze, and Chris, you were there in December 14th. We met in Taylor, Texas or whatever. And I had thrown away my fries from Chick-fil-A or something like that, or someone did. But then later I got munchy, and I was like, oh no, I'm gonna go grab those fries. And so they were still in the Chick-fil-A bag, inside a brand new trash bag, inside their little container. And I just reached in and grabbed them and started eating them. And everybody, all the young missionaries are like, oh, what? You're eating trash. And I'm like, technically it's trash. You're right. It was in the trash, but it was perfectly safe and sequestered from the actual garbage.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Matt, because much like the Chick-fil-A fries that you rescued from the trash, God desires to rescue you, dads. If you ever feel like you're down and out, know that God desires you to pull you from the trash.
And nibble on you anyway? What are you talking about?
Okay, so the analogy broke down, but it had some good momentum for a moment.
Really quick. It broke down before there was even a point.
God loves you. Thanks for being here at the Catholic Dad Show. Listen, you've been with us through a couple of the previous series with Trey and Deacon Frank and David. And so we thought we might, the cherry on top would be actually to interview each other, ask each other some of the questions in the Real Dads of Genius series, as humble as that is.
We are the cherry on top. I don't know about that. We are the punishment at the end of the rainbow.
But here we are, nonetheless. So I'm going to start by asking Matt a question, then he's going to shoot back to me, and we're going to do the dueling banjos of Catholic Dads of Genius. So here we go. Matt, I thought Trey gave an excellent answer to this one, but what is your answer to the hoped impact in the world because of your Catholic fatherhood?
I mean, I thought you were going to ask me the first question. Okay. The impact that I hope to have as a Catholic father is honestly my legacy, is the men and women my children will become. Because I know that that is really how we're going to impact the world, is through our families. And at least that's my perception is, and that's why I think it's great to have a lot of kids, because you have a much bigger chance of impacting the world in a big way because you have more kids. And so the way that I raise my kids, they're going to grow up, and my hope, my prayer is to be strong, faithful Catholics, good members of society, treat other people well, and be good citizens on top of all of that other stuff. And then my hope is that they do the same thing with their children. And so it just exponentially grows. Mm-hmm. So that's when I think about my impact on the world through my Catholic fatherhood, I think generationally.
I love it. Yeah. You mentioned that's why I have a lot of kids. Like, ultimately, I would love for them to be like, yeah, we're going to have pundits go after the soccer moms and, construction worker Joe, whatever that was, like average Joe, and also the Bartlett demographic. If we can get the Bartlett vote, yeah, right, then we can swing, yeah, this election. And
your family tree is so big that they need your family vote.
Right, right. And not that it's all about my last name or all about that piece, but I think there is some aspect of legacy to where it's like love multiplies. It doesn't divide, because that's who God is. And, yep, and love unifies. And if we can have members of our family in different pockets of the country, different pockets of the world, that have that same beating heart that's connected to God, which is our job to help foster a place where our children are connected to God, I think that that's a powerful thing. So legacy is important. And in that legacy, you also have to foster a fatherhood that creates kids that are willing to do advocacy, right? So yep, if you have kids that have an interior life, and don't actually have a lived discipleship, that's not effective. But if you have kids that are willing to stand in the gap for other people, right? Yep. The lost, the lonely, yep, the hungry, that type of thing, that's a game changer for the world.
You said something that reminded me about a conversation we had a long time ago, and I think we may have shared it on a previous podcast, a previous venture, but I just wanted to say it real quick because it was on my mind. Chris mentioned something about, you know, love doesn't get divided, it gets multiplied. That was a real concern my wife and I had as we started having more and more kids. Like, how am I going to be able to love my next kid as much as I love this kid, or my second kid as much as I love my first kid? And what you said true, like Chris, has rung true in our lives. Like, our love isn't divided, it's multiplied. You know, and one of the examples you gave was your first kid had two people that loved him unconditionally. Your second kid, when you had your second kid, your first and your second kid had three people that loved them unconditionally, and so on and so forth, until now we have six kids, and those six kids all have seven people that love them unconditionally, you know, at least at a minimum,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like love has multiplied since then. And yeah, I love that, you know? So those you Catholic dads out there that are thinking about how many kids you want to have, like, take that into consideration, that thought that your love doesn't get divided, it gets multiplied.
And it's interesting because, you know, I'll just go with my oldest two. My love for Philomena, right, actually draws from a different reservoir than my love for Francesca.
Yep.
Like there was this whole new reservoir of love that God graced me with when Francesca came along. It wasn't like I had to take the Philomena reservoir and start parceling it out. It's absolutely amazing. The same is true in regards to our spouses. Like I my love for my spouse comes from a different reservoir than my love for my children. But now my spouse is also the mother to my children. So that reservoir actually increases because there's more reason to celebrate love and adore my wife. Yeah.
Cool. So now we're getting off on too much of a tangent. Okay. So Chris, I'm going to ask you the first question. What is the biggest challenge you faced as a Catholic dad?
Great. And we actually pre-showed this a little bit to talk about if this was even something that we could venture into. But I believe that it's important to share. The biggest challenge that I faced as a Catholic dad is pornography. I have struggled on and off with pornography since I was 15 years old. And there are times where the struggle increases or gets more challenging, to where I'm not as successful in regards to that battle. And that those times I feel completely insecure and inadequate as a, yep, as a father. How am I supposed to say that I'm the man that God is calling me to be when I've taken action that is clearly against God and against, you know, true manhood. Like, I'm supposed to be a protector and defender of all God's children. And yet I'm sitting here and having this secret life or this secret moment that goes against what God is calling me to be or who God is calling me to be. And so that's been a long struggle. That's been a big challenge that I faced as a Catholic dad. And it's like disciplining my children is way easier than disciplining my screen time at certain times of vulnerability, right? And so, yeah. So to speak to how I've really sought to navigate that, obviously sacramental life is so important. So regular confession, but also covenant eyes, something that tells my screen what I desire it to say when I'm in a good place, like no, no, no on those things. And then last but not least, spiritual direction and brotherhood, like other people journeying along. One of the hardest things that I've done in regards to navigating that has been inviting my wife into that conversation. And that happened a few years ago, and it was really powerful. And so she champions me. She prays for me. She checks in on me and things of that nature. And the conversations aren't always easy. But I think that type of vulnerability is important in most cases. So that, yeah. And that, I think that's mine.
That's a very beautiful thing. I think that, I mean, and this is going to sound weird, that can come from this kind of struggle is the level of vulnerability and intimacy you have to have with your wife to be able to share that struggle with her is amazing, you know, because a lot of men probably couldn't share that struggle with their wife or feel like they can't.
And I would agree. I think there's some understandings where women aren't ready to see that. And it was helpful. My wife actually dove into a lot of different pieces of research because she felt very threatened or attacked, like, oh, I'm not good enough for you. And I'm like, it's not, it unfortunately, it's not about you, you know, it's about being, you know, hurt or lonely or, you know, all these different pieces that kind of go back to some core wounds that I've had growing up and things of that nature. And my wife started to come to an understanding that it wasn't attack against her. Like, my struggle with pornography wasn't because I was dissatisfied with her or it was an attack against her. And she ended up landing on a couple of different podcasts that unpacked kind of the psychological kind of rooting that pornography can have. And my struggle with pornography is something that I developed, this negative habit or this kind of haunting sin, developed before I even met her, you know? I mean,
yeah.
Even before I think I had my first kiss, like it's like, it was the OG, right? So yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to answer that same question. You know, one of the biggest challenges that I have, you know, that I face as a Catholic dad is and it's kind of on the same vein, but some of this is more visible to my kids than what you struggle with. But like my own bad habits, you know, whether it's tobacco use or alcohol use, you know, my kids see that. You know, and how do I, you know, teach them to do differently than what I do? And, you know, when I'm public or when it's obvious what I do, you know, and it's like, how do you wrestle with that? You know, and I think many of us dads have bad habits that we don't want to pass on to our kids, whether it's, you know, cussing, watching TV too much, playing video games too much, you know, different things like that. It's like, how do we wrestle with that, you know, and teach our kids to do differently than what we're doing while we're actually doing it?
Yeah. And some habits are clear, right? But Matt, when you get three drinks in you, you don't turn into a jerk.
Yeah.
You're actually pretty enjoyable, you know? Yeah.
I've said this before. I've had missionaries and other people say, oh man, you quit drinking. I like you when you're drinking.
And that's problematic because it gives a witness, a confusing witness,
yes.
particularly a confusing witness to your children. I don't know how to navigate that aside from actual vulnerability to share with your children. Like, I struggle and this is a growth area and I'm striving to grow. Like that example of like, dad's really trying hard. I remember going on family vacations. Now, my dad struggles with smoking and has for a number of years. And he would decide, you know what? I'll be away from work. I won't be as stressed. So I'll quit smoking while we're on vacation. Right. And 2 days into to vacation, my mom would take the car, go to the gas station and buy him a pack of cigarettes and throw it at him and say, quit being such a jerk. Just smoke a few of these and get back to your old self. You know what I mean? Like it was, yeah. It was one of those things to where like breaking a habit or breaking kind of a pattern behavior is really hard and it's a struggle. And sometimes the kids need to be brought into that to where it's like, dad might be a little bit more irritable.
Yep.
Because, yep. Because he has no nicotine in his bloodstream right now. Like let's help dad along the way. And for the kids to be able to help dad with anything, whether it's doing yard work or repairing the vehicle or helping him overcome his nicotine addiction, like the kids want to help dad out, you know? So I think it's okay to be measured in your vulnerability and invite them into that reality.
Yeah. And it can, you know, share as a witness for your kids because they're going to have bad habits as well, you know, when they get older. And for them to see their father struggle with a bad habit, you know, overcome it, hopefully. And then they can look at that example and say, hey, you know, I can do this too.
When they get older, they're going to have bad habits. Matt, my kids,
they have bad habits now.
My kids have been taking off their shoes and socks and shoving their socks into their shoes. And then the next day when it's time for school, putting those socks on because they don't want to go back upstairs.
Gross.
I was putting them to bed the other night and I had curly hair by the end of the night. Like it was just like, it was horrid, man. It was horrid. So,
all right. What question are we going to answer next? Do you want to answer the second one the one that I answered? Do you want to answer that again?
The impact? No, I think we're pretty aligned in regards to that. The next question is who inspires you as a dad and why? And I just want to Frankenstein that answer. You know what I mean?
I was thinking the same thing when I was thinking about that.
Like that there's aspects of different dads that are really inspiring. One father, who's a police officer nearby, his kid got hurt and his kid was, you know, like 4 years old. And I started hustling over to the kid and he put his hand on my shoulder and said, hold on. My son sees me coming towards them. He's crying, but he's not like gushing blood. This isn't a run over to the kid thing. He goes, let's just walk over there and allow the kid to self-soothe a little bit and learn what it is to deal with an injury. And it was such an insight because I was coddling my kids unknowingly. And I'm not saying there's not times where you should coddle your kids. Like there's some emotional hurt and different things like that you want to definitely be present to. But he gave me permission as a father to slow things down a little bit. Cause I was on overdrive all the time. Like, let's do this. And I'm a dad there. And I was just like the Energizer Bunny dad. And he's like, he didn't say it, but the way he fathered was a way that it's like, you can be a little bit more measured, a little bit more calm and just approach your kids and they'll know dad is coming. Like, yeah, it was just such a neat thing. So, there's little tidbits from different dads that I just want to Frankenstein into my ideal father.
Oh yeah. You know, and I think, almost all the dads that I see being fathers, you know, cause I don't see every dad that I know, I don't see them with their kids, but the ones that I do see, there's something about their fatherhood that I admire, you know, and that I strive to, you know, put into place in my own life. I see, you know, one of my neighbors out playing with their kids, throwing the football. It's like, I don't do that. I don't do that as much as I should, you know? And I think I've shared this multiple times on this podcast and others, you know, just that I tend to be lazy, you know? And so I that inspires me to get off my butt and do something. Other dads who, you know, have hobbies, you know, whether it's woodworking or things like that, bringing their kids into those hobbies and showing them and how to do them, teaching those things. One, it inspires me to get a hobby. Like I don't have a hobby. You know? And then the other is to teach my kids those things. And so those are, yeah, I do the same thing as far as Frankie's saying. And I don't think of one particular dad as the one who inspires me. My father, there are certain things like about him that absolutely inspire me. I love the way he treats people. This isn't necessarily about fatherhood or anything like that, but every single person he meets or encounters throughout the day, he does the typical dad thing and reads their name tag and calls them by name, you know, and it's just, it's good because that person actually like feels like a person in that moment, you know, rather than just a cog in a machine, you know, so.
So long as he doesn't ask him about their tattoos, you'll be fine with it. Here's one that I find interesting is my mother inspires me as a dad. I know that sounds weird to be like, wait, your mom inspires you as a dad, but the way that my mom sacrificed for my family growing up, and just because I got to see that a little closer because she was a nurse, and so she woke up at 4 in the morning, went to work, helped prep people for surgery, helped recover them out of surgery, and then was home by 3 o'clock so that she was home when we got home from school. Like, so I got to see my mom in so many more contexts, and just the way that she sacrificed and was willing to put others before her was inspiring. And like, she operated on like 5 hours of sleep for years, and I just don't know how she was able to function, but it's just inspiring the way she was able to lay down her life in so many ways. And so my mom, in a big way, is an inspiration for my own fatherhood.
I'm confused. I mean, I get it. I totally get it. But give me some hate mail or whatever.
Because she's not a dad is what you
mean. Yeah, she's not a dad. I'm like, I understand that she inspires you. But the whole question as a Catholic dad just throws me off a little bit.
No, but the question says, who inspires you as a dad and why? My mom inspires me as a dad because self-sacrifice is part of fatherhood. It's also part of motherhood. Right. There's some similarities. Yeah. Send Matt that hate mail. Comment below. Yeah. Get cancel culture on this guy. Down with Matt Rice.
All right. Tell us about your biggest dad fail. I was thinking about this earlier today, and I almost had a dad fail last night, I feel like. But I'll talk about that in a second. But my biggest fails really, you know, come when I lose my temper. There have been times when I've like actually grabbed my kids and lifted them up off the ground. I've been so mad at them. And that's not a good thing. And I always come back around and apologize. You know, it happens very rarely. But I know like when that has passed, that time has passed, it's like, wow, that was probably very, very scary, you know, for your kids. Cause I mean, yeah, I'm not super strong, but compared to them, I'm pretty darn strong. You
know? Yeah. I mean, you've got a 17-year-old now. So I think that, I might not, go head to head with, one of those boys.
He's about to be 18, man.
It's crazy.
It's freaky. Yeah. You know, I'm about to have my first kid going off to college. So the other thing, like the almost dad fail. So I have a second driver in my house now. He's 16 and started driving basically last week. And the Ablaze team needed the truck this morning. Well, the truck is his car, you know, supposed to be his car to go to and from school. And so I had basically said, you know, that the only two cars that are going to his school, because I don't want my car in that parking lot, and it's ridiculous to take the van, you know, to that parking lot. And so I said the only two cars that are going to that school are the truck and the standard. So the manual shift,
yeah.
You know, I don't know how many, the stick shift. And so we need the truck on Thursday. So you need to be able to drive the standard by that day. Cause you're taking the standard to school. And so two nights ago, I sent him and my older son to the store. I said, you drive, Levi, you coach him. And y'all just drive to the store. Well, he drove around the block a little bit, couldn't get, you know, the first gear going very well. And they traded seats and went to the store.
Yeah.
And like you wasted your chance to learn. And so then last night I sent him out on his own. I said, you're driving it tomorrow to school. Do you want to be prepared or not? You know, and so he's sitting in the driveway, you know, almost in tears. Just sitting in the car by himself. I looked through the window and like, I almost just left him out there.
Right.
And I was like, that would have been a dad fail.
Right.
Totally would have been a dad fail. So I went out there, sat in the car with him, and we drove around and he nailed it. Like he got to where he could do it like perfectly fine. It was a really good teaching moment, coaching moment, yeah. You know, for me and my son. But it like, just because I was watching a show with my wife, I was sitting on the couch watching TV. I didn't want to get up. I didn't want to go.
Yeah.
You know, that's my typical dad laziness, you know, almost dad fail, you know, for me. So,
and
how about you?
It's fascinating with that, that it's something that becomes very natural, right? So at this point forward, I don't think he'll need any more instruction.
No.
Right? Oh, you grind the gears once or twice. Well, the car tells you you shouldn't have done that. Right? Yeah. At this point. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it becomes instinct. You hear the engine rev up to a certain thing, and you just left foot down, you shift gears, and you keep going. But that becomes an organic piece of driving that we forget that we had to learn ourselves. So kind of teaching others to do things that we already know how to do. And sometimes it feels like, oh, that's beneath me. How do you not know how to drive a stick? You know, like, it's like, well, I need to, you know, and you hear about that, about kids that are like, I didn't know how to shave. You know, I had someone to teach me and things of that nature. So my biggest dad fail, my oldest was, I think, maybe 9 or 10 at the time. And she asked me a question about something. And it was like, okay, Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. Have you ever heard or read that book?
You said this to your daughter?
No, I'm asking you. I'm providing context for the story.
I know, but that was funnier.
Man's Search for Meaning.
I probably read it. I do not remember.
Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl is one of the most amazing books. If you have not read it, and it's broken into two parts, just read the first part. But Viktor Frankl was a Jewish psychologist that back in during World War II was taken to a concentration camp. And he ended up surviving and writing this book about how even in the most insane type of circumstances, you can still find happiness. You can still find meaning. He goes, it was different than the meaning that I was pursuing outside the camp, but the people who survived were people who were able to seek and find meaning in the midst of their current situation. And my daughter was asking me about a difficult situation and how it was kind of bumming her out. And I was like, well, if this guy can survive the Holocaust, then you can, you know, or you can survive your thing, which is an ultimate dad thing to do. So she's 9 and I'm like, oh yeah, Holocaust. Let me explain to you what that is.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm sitting there, we're driving in the car, so she can't go anywhere. And I'm telling her a little bit about it. Like, the idea of people hurting other people was a new idea to her at this age. Yep. Maybe she was 8. And at one point in the drive, because I got my eyes on the road, I look over at her and she's in tears. And I'm like, oh no. And she goes, I'm just a kid. What are you telling me? Like, she said that. And I was like, no. Like, I could see her innocence just deteriorating right before me. And
oh my gosh.
And anyways, she loves me now. She's always loved me, but she's done a number of different things with history and stuff like that. And she had a leg up on the horrors of some of human history. And and we worked through it. She grew into that knowledge. But that was definitely premature for me giving her that knowledge. And
just a kid.
She had to remind me that. It wasn't like my wife had to step and be like, what are you doing, Chris? She's just a kid. She was like, this is way too much for me to process. I'm like 9 years old, stop, or 8 years old, whatever it was. Oh,
that's awesome. I love it.
It was horrid.
Yeah, that sounds awful. All right. So last question. This is one we asked everybody.
Yep.
What advice would you want to give your younger self? Do you want to go first or me?
I'd like you to go first.
Okay. So I'm going to think as I talk. As far as Catholic fatherhood, like I think like it all depends on which version of my younger self that I'm talking to. Because early in my marriage, I was like I would say a typical cradle Catholic, not really understanding my faith. And so I don't know if it's cheating or whatever, just to like tell myself about Jesus, you know, like to inspire myself to have a real relationship with Jesus,
right?
And not to be afraid of that. Cause I do wish that had happened earlier in my life, especially earlier in my marriage, because the way that that has impacted me as a father is light years beyond anything else I've ever done, experienced, or anything like that.
And for context, in regards to a personal living relationship with Jesus, like discipleship, that's something that's only gone on for the last 10 years of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. So half of my marriage.
keep in mind, he's been in ministry for 20 years.
That's right. And I mean, it's been the last, I guess the last, well, no, you're right. It's been the last 10 years, maybe 9. So yeah, it's been less than half of my marriage. And so I've always been Catholic. I've always been, all 20 years of my marriage, I've been in ministry.
Sure.
But I was doing all the things, but just not in a living, real relationship with Jesus. And so just the growth that I've gone through in the last 10 years is exponential. you know, compared to that. And that's just like what it is, like being close to Jesus, walking closely with Jesus. He's going to help us grow to be the men that we're called to be more than any like class, seminar, other man is ever going to do.
Sure.
In our lives. And so that's, you know, it's weird to say that that's the advice that I would give my younger self is, you know, really dive into that and learn about that relationship with Jesus and get that sooner. Like, I don't know if that's even possible because God's like, God has got his own plan and his own time, you know, but anyway, that's my advice to myself.
Yeah. So for me, there would be two. One would be as someone in ministry, right? Because I enjoyed summer jobs and things like that as a younger self. If I'm going to my high school self, I would say work your tail off every summer and max out your Roth IRA. Sorry, but like if my retirement was already set and I didn't have to put money back towards retirement and stuff like that, I could move that money towards my family. And having six kids, that would be very helpful, you know, like building wealth and things like that. But the real advice that I would give myself, because compound interest is powerful, and that's always what I want to tell my younger self. The real advice that would be powerful is the true adventure is a selfless one. And to be able to start training myself at a younger age to go all in for what it means to serve others, to delight in others, to get outside of my own wants and desires and needs, and to make other people's needs, wants, and desires the focus, because that really bears some fruit in fatherhood when it's no longer about me, but it's about not just them, but about we, about the family. And it's not that I'm starting too late in life to realize it, but it's been such a gradual thing. I wish I would have hit the start button on that learning process 10 years earlier.
Yeah.
Great.
Awesome.
So we want to hear back from you guys. This is the end of kind of this series of A Catholic Dad's a Genius. What advice would you give your younger self? Comment below. Or what are some of the answers that you would give to the questions, biggest challenge you faced, the impact you desire because of fatherhood, who inspires you as a Catholic dad, or even your biggest dad fail? That'd be fun. So post below, or you can email us and connect with us there as well. We want to let you guys know that this is brought to you by The Village, which is an online community for all parents, but there's a section specific for Catholic dads, specifically created just for you. And so, Matt, how can they jump on The Village?
They find The Village at ablaze.us/The Village.
Awesome. Great. Matt, any closing thoughts?
No, I hope that, this has been fruitful. As you were talking, I wanted to think about a way to, like, and this sounds stupid, to gather information from the people that have been watching and listening to tell us, you know, what they're hungering for, you know, as Catholic dads. What are they looking for? What kind of growth are they looking for? Because Chris and I have our own ideas. We have a whole list of things that we want to go through. But if it's something that you know you want or you know you need, I don't care if you email me directly. You know, matt@ablaze.us, just shoot me an email and tell me like what you're hoping for, an area that you feel like the Catholic world is missing, you know, with regards to how we form our fathers or the information we give our fathers, stuff like that. Because there's information out there. There's tons of like catechetical resources, knowledge-based stuff. But I don't feel like there's all that much experiential stuff.
Or dialogue surrounding those resources.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, even dialogue around experiences, you know, because in the next series that we want to do, we want to pull in people from different areas and actually get into a studio and focus on a topic that really matters to you guys, you know, our viewers, to you guys, our listeners. So shoot me an email, matt@ablaze.us, or comment below, whatever. Any way that you want to reach out to us, let us know. Make sure and subscribe to this on YouTube. Rate it on whatever podcast platform you're listening to it, and share it with your friends.
Amen. Awesome. You guys, thank you so much. This is the Catholic Dad Show. That was a wrap on Catholic Dads of Genius. I'm Chris.
And I'm Matt.
And God bless you.